Well, the Super Bowl is upon us. Once we get through the Pro Bowl, the Eagles will meet the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year. We're all very excited for that in 2 weeks' time. Because there's plenty to talk about on Third and Five this week. Okay, it's me, Simon Hampton, here with James Thwaites and Dave Rice for episode 57 of Third and Five. Gents, how are you?
Good, mate. Some of us have been filled with confidence since before the season that the Eagles were going to do it, and the Eagles are doing it. It brings me great joy to see Dave's Cowboys not there, and I'm pretty happy overall. You know, like, it's a good week. It's unfortunate, like you said in the opening, that we all have to suffer through the awful Pro Bowl this week.
Yeah, don't say that you're disappointed not to see the Cowboys. You're the only Eagles fan in the world whose second favorite team is the Cowboys, and we've discussed that many a time.
We have discussed this many a time. I just like watching good football, and like, I will give the Cowboys credit. Like, they're good to watch, but
What's his name? The OC just got hired for the Chargers, Kellen Moore.
Weirdly. Right? So, yeah.
And then
so
they replaced him within like 24 hours or even less, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, good on him that he's moving off. He's going to the Chargers. He's going to work with Herbert. Basically, I think rumors that were coming out was that McCarthy was going to take over play calling duties, which as a Cowboys fan, you've got to be happy with, because there's nobody to blame now but McCarthy. And Kellen Moore was basically like, look, I'm out. He's gone to a Chargers team. He'll do well there. But fucking Jesus, Jerry Jones just needs to step back out of that team and let them do their own shit.
He's a prime example of like a owner that really sort of masks the sort of difference between owner and, say, general manager. He's really heavily involved. Maybe that's similar to the Yankees back in the day, where you had Steinbrenner was always pretty involved.
It's tough, sure, though, because he's the one paying the bills. So he's, you know, like no one's, you know, he doesn't answer to anyone.
Well, one of the other teams that does that is the Chicago Bears. Lots of family involved in that, and they are fucking just awful constantly over and over and over and again. But
Dwight, so you've been getting out to the Nets games? I think you went last week, didn't you?
I have, yeah. Went to, what did we have last week? We had
I'm not surprised, probably, can't remember.
This sums up the Nets again with KD out. We get absolutely spanked by the Pistons. We beat a full strength Warriors team without KD. And then on Saturday, we just destroy the Knicks. And we just absolutely had the Knicks number, which
we always destroy the Knicks. Nine wins in a row.
I think I saw as well, since KD went out, if you include the game, because we were losing when he went down against the Heat, I think Nets have gone 5-6.
Yes.
Which is, I think we would have taken that.
Yeah.
And particularly given that they've, you know, beaten pretty good teams as well. Yes, they've lost some bad ones, but beating the good teams means that, you know, when you've got KD, you're going to feel pretty good when you potentially face them, you know, come playoffs or again later in the season.
Well, it means that we've dropped to fourth, I think. But we're only 4.5 games back of the Celtics, which means I think we're maybe 1.5 or 2.5 back when KD was injured. So you've only lost 2 or 3 games, which I think in this stretch, like, he's been out for a while. I think you would take that for sure. You know, only losing two or three games to the Celtics in that time. So hopefully he's back. I think they're saying like end of this week or on the weekend is the next update. And KD is saying he wants to get back for a couple of games before the All-Star break. I don't know. I guess it's going to be like I imagine the Nets kind of want him to just sit out until afterwards, but we'll see what happens. Maybe the All-Star game is actually a good game for him to like come back in as his first game back, because they don't play any defense. It's chill. No. It's all chill.
I don't want him
to just get a shooting stride back.
Yeah, I don't even want him anywhere near that floor. You know, and hey, look, like, I mean, we're gonna be talking about resting players and the impact that it has later. Like last night, Monday night, here in the US, they were hosting the Lakers, and no AD, no KD, no LeBron. I think the last time like LeBron and KD actually played each other was back when KD was on the Warriors, like back in 2018 or something like that. It's been a long, long time since those two have actually gone head-to-head. So,
Yeah, which is not, as an NBA organization, that's not what you want. You know, that's two of the sort of most marketable, biggest names in the sport. You want them playing each other, and obviously in different you know, West and East, so they don't have that many opportunities, but you certainly want them playing when the teams play each other.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, what else is new, gents? What else have you been up to? Good weekend?
Good weekend. Didn't do a lot. Just, you know, watching sport.
You were looking at going to the Eagles game, right?
Yeah.
Like that was a
how close consideration.
How close did I come? I came pretty close. Like, just to give everyone like an indication about the cost. So Zorys is going to be the most expensive NFC championship game on record. So to kind of put things in perspective, normally like NFC championship games around $750 for the cheapest ticket US. Super Bowl's already is around about $5K. This year, because the Eagles were playing and San Francisco, the cheapest was around the $1,000 mark. They dropped down to about 800-ish, but then they just bounced right back up again. So didn't was a little close. I was like, if they get down to 600, like maybe 600-700, but they never did. And, you know, it would have been $1,500 to kind of get down there just for the day once everything's said and done.
Yeah, $1,500 and video footage of you climbing up a pole.
Yeah, correct.
Which is priceless.
Yeah, and I mean, like you've seen the ticket prices like for the Super Bowl as well. The cheapest one at the moment is $6,500. So it's probably going to be the most expensive Super Bowl on record as well.
Wait till when are they doing it in Vegas? That'll be the they'll just keep going up, obviously, naturally. But LA last year would have 100% been the most expensive to date, and yeah, it just seems to keep getting eclipsed. It's crazy.
They must be going to Vegas soon. With the new stadium there,
the year after,
2 years after, where are they next year? Back in Florida. It seems to always be down in the south these days. And maybe that's normal, but it always seems to be Florida, Arizona.
I think Atlanta. Maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be Minnesota will probably get another one having the dome or having a roof. Yeah. But they obviously got one when they built it, sort of not quite 10 years ago. So I wonder whether we'll go back around to them again.
Chicago might get it if they build a new stadium as well.
Well, I think generally, if you build a new stadium that's indoor as well, like you a part of the deal is you get, you know, part of pay $5 billion or taxpayers pay for it and then you'll get it.
Unless so you're Buffalo.
Vegas is next year. The following year is the Superdome in New Orleans.
That's right, New Orleans, yeah. All right, well, let's, while we're talking about Eagles and Philadelphia, let's rip into it with that Eagles 49ers game. Overall, pretty disappointing game. What was the final score? 31-7 or something? 31-7 to the Eagles. Very convincing win for them. Obviously, Brock Purdy was out pretty early on. They went to Joe or James Johnson, whatever his name was. He was garbage. Purdy came back on, which is pretty impressive, given what we now know that he's going to be out for at least 6 months with this elbow injury. So for him to come back on and play is pretty good good effort from him. But obviously it was you know, they were going to be up against it anyway, let alone, you know, down to their fourth string quarterback. So kind of a disappointing playoff game in many ways there.
It was. Look, like, I mean, I'm an Eagles fan, but it's absolutely not lost on me that Eagles have had one of the easiest stretches to a Super Bowl probably in the last 10, 20 years. I mean, they played a Giants team who just never looked in it, and then basically had a 49ers team who had one hand tied behind their back, or, you know, like with that horrific elbow injury to Purdy. You know, it was 7-7 at one stage, I think it was, maybe 14-7, when Christian McCaffrey got that awesome touchdown early in the second quarter. But I mean, the 49ers never looked in it at all. The Eagles looked great on defense and offense. You know, again, like, just had another game where they're not having to play as many players and give away their playbook going into into their next game, which is the Super Bowl. So I'm pretty happy about that, and it's just disappointing. Like, again, like, I'm glad I didn't go, because imagine paying all that money to go there just to watch, you know, Joe Johnson, basically a fourth string quarterback, when you think about all the injuries that they've had. It's just kind of like, you'd be heartbroken if you're a 49ers fan, you know, all the things that you've overcome in the season just to get to that point and get completely destroyed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his name's Josh Johnson. I know he's
Is it Josh, Joe, or James?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Josh. But But anyway, I think
it is Josh Johnson.
It is Josh Johnson.
I did see
there was a pretty funny picture on Twitter where you had a guy in 49ers kit in the nosebleeds. You know, exactly what you're talking about, where this person's probably flown over from the Bay Area, gone to the game. I think the tweet or the mate that posted it was like, you know, paid $2,000 to be here. And he just obviously just looked miserable sitting in his seat while all these other fans around him are cheering. So it's one of those things that just wasn't, I mean, we've spoken about it like amongst ourselves. I personally think these playoffs overall have not been great in terms of spectacles, competitiveness, certainly compared to last year where we had just, it seemed to be game after game was, you know, absolute epics where, you know, you had either a, you know, Mahomes with the ball in hand behind trying to win the game or whatever, that seemed to be such a common occurrence in last year's playoffs. This year, we just haven't had that often. And yeah, that Eagles-Niners game just added to it. The thing I thought about watching the game...
Hang on, Dave, before you move on, that's actually an interesting point because I think the favorites have won every single game this year apart from two, which would be the Vikings losing to the Giants and then the Jags beating the Chargers. Every other game, the favorite from like a betting point of view has won.
And the Giants Vikings, I would say more money was put on the Giants to win that. Correct. Like people were expecting that, even though they Vikings had the home field and maybe a slight advantage. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, they were up by 28, so they should have won. You know, like that was crazy.
See, I guess the Bills Bengals technically as well. I can't remember what the line was in that, but I mean, like you're right. Like it has been pretty boring. It's all gone to script. There's been kind of nothing exciting, and the two teams that are in the Super Bowl. Some absolute oracle, I believe, predicted that back in week 4. Si?
Who was that?
Would you like to take your victory lap?
Yeah. No, I did. I could just kind of tell. Yeah, I could tell that they'd meet San Francisco because David predicted San Francisco, but I kind of knew San Francisco would be down to James Johnson at quarterback. So,
Josh Johnson.
It's kind of on purpose,
right? Like, I don't think he deserves to be remembered.
Yeah. It kind of like speaks to how far down the ranks there. I think the thing, like you touched on a fan traveling from San Francisco for that game, and I feel like even if your team loses, but they're in the game, you can kind of like, you're obviously still gutted, but at least you kind of, you know, you're in it and you kind of rode the wave. For that game, you're just like, you know, they can't win. Like they're trying to chase the game and Purdy can't even throw the ball. Like they're running it, you know, on every play basically. And they do have a good running back, but like,
it's easy to defend when you know that there's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they literally are not, they just cannot throw the ball. So, I just think like it was just flat basically, and you kind of knew that San Francisco weren't getting back into that.
Jimmy Garoppolo, like, I wonder whether he would have been fit enough to strip up. Now I know the squads you can only have 53 set up, you know, to play in the game, and I just feel like there was someone that could have been like tagged out, whether it's like, you know, the fifth or sixth, you know, bench defenseman. Could have been just like, and they could have had Jimmy G just there available. So I don't know what his fitness is.
Very, very good point. But I mean, the fact is, on paper, if Jimmy was like, apparently there was a chance he could be back up for the Super Bowl, they wouldn't have started him. I think if he was close, you would have absolutely done that, right? You know, your confidence is in a guy that's played with team members and stuff like that. It's not in James, Joe, Josh Johnson. You know, like hindsight's always 20/20, but like, I mean, I think there's probably a player aspect of this as well, where Jimmy G is a free agent next year, and he's probably like, if I'm not 100%, I'm not going in because I'm not wrecking my payday next year.
Yeah, it's true. That's fair.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, one argument against that would have been like, he could have also just built, think about how much more money he could go for if he kind of came in ahead of Josh Johnson and came in and when it was 7-all and Purdy was down and actually kind of helped, you know, lead the team to victory.
Yeah, I just think, like, again, if he was even close, they would have had him as a backup, even a third string, because you're right, they would have just, you know...
And it's a shame from our point of view, because the game would have been better with Jimmy G coming in at that injury.
Could have been the Stephen Donald of the 49ers. With the jersey too small or something. He's wearing Trey Lance's jersey or something. probably smaller. We're going to wrap up both games in this topic. So let's talk Chiefs Bengals, which was undoubtedly the better game. First of all, watching this, I was like outraged to start with the last play of the, or the, you know, penultimate play of the game. Outraged that a guy could blatantly push over Patrick Mahomes when he's already out of play an Arrowhead in the last play of the game and put the Chiefs into field goal range with the scores at 20 all. I just thought that was a terrible moment, one of the dumbest plays I've seen in a while.
Okay, what do you make of that? I've gone back and forth on this quite a lot, actually, because in the moment, you're frustrated. Like, looking at that play, you're just like, this guy has cost the absolute game for his team. His own teammate actually, like, threw him under the bus after the game as well in an interview. Definitely don't like that. So going back and watching tape of that game, you can actually see the impact that he's had throughout that game.
Yeah, he was the best defense. He was the best player on defense.
Correct. Sure, I mean, it's fine, but it's 100%. Like, it's still one of the stupidest, just like, plays you can do.
I mean,
just
because
you had a
stupid,
great game doesn't excuse you from pushing them and losing the game for your team.
No, but at the same point, like, go back to the two Joe Burrow like interceptions. Like, if one of those had happened at the end of the game, we wouldn't even be talking about a 15-yard, unnecessary roughness penalty. So I kind of at the moment. I was frustrated. It's exactly like a kicker missing a field goal. You know, like, you're on the field to do one thing and it's not make stupid mistakes. Guy's 22. He had an absolute lights out game apart from that. So I'm okay with it in hindsight, I think. And I think, you know, most Bengals fans should be as well, because, you know, if, like I said, if Joe Burrow had thrown a pick on the last play of the game, finger pointing wouldn't be going there. If a running back had fumbled it, finger pointing would be going there. It's a game of, you know, 60 minutes, four quarters. So, yeah.
I mean,
the difference between those ones are that sometimes some of those other mistakes are often forced by, there's just nothing forced about, like, pushing the quarterback when he's already out of play and roughing him and giving up 15 yards. Like, that is just, it's just a stupid, stupid foul that I see happen way too often in normal games, let alone with 4 seconds or 5 seconds left on the clock in the game.
A very similar thing happened, you know, the other way around, where Joe Burrow got roughed up and it didn't get called. So, like, I mean, like, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm going to give him a pass of that for sure.
I mean, it's definitely
no way.
The thing with the big talking point out of the game was the officiating, and you could argue applied to the Eagles game as well. I don't think it would have mattered with the Eagles game, but there did seem to be a lot of calls. I've watched a lot of football in the last sort of several years. Not a hell of a lot before then, but I don't think there's ever been like a repeat of a third down like that. I certainly haven't seen a situation where, you know, earlier in the game where they've just given another down to the Chiefs. And a lot of those calls like that just seem to go the, you know, Kansas City's way. And you don't want in any sport, and especially in such a big stage, and, you know, this being a championship final, you don't want the refereeing or the officiating being a talking point after the game. That's the big thing. You want it to be, you know, Burrow, Mahomes, or someone that's won the game or whatever. And, you know, yes, that last roughing the passer became a big talking point, but just as much the refereeing as well, which is a shame.
No, it's tough. I mean, but I think, yeah, I would. You kind of always want the refs to be neutral, and as you say, the refs to be not talked about at all. But you almost kind of, like, you've got to expect that you're probably not going to get the rough of the green in Arrowhead in a big game like this. And as much as you think you should, and these are the best refs in the NFL, I think you've there's got to be, like, some extra caution, because they're not going to get the calls with 80,000 fans cheering for the Chiefs there.
I don't 100% know about that, but, like, what I do know is that, like, you're a professional, you go in and you try your hardest every game, and, like, if it's repeated mistakes, I can absolutely, like, sit there and say that's absolutely stupid. But if it's a one heat of the moment mistake when you've had a lights out game, I mean, it'd be like Christian McCaffrey, like, going up and lining up on a goal line to score, like, the winning game touchdown for the 49ers against the Eagles and fumbling the ball. Like, yeah, you could complain about it, but, you know, it's just nobody talks about how defensive players play for the majority of the game, because their stats aren't as easy to read as, like, 10 completions for 120 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? Without fumble.
It's different to fumbling the ball though, because if you fumble the ball on the touchline, like, you're not making a decision there to fumble the ball or not, or to catch the ball or not. This defender, 58, has been chasing after Mahomes and made a decision to push him even harder when he's already a foot or two out of play.
I think what tumbled Mahomes down is their foot accidentally hit each other. And that's where Mahomes really went crashing down. So I don't think he did a massive push, but it was always going to be called. Yeah. It was always going to be called. What was actually more stupid that hasn't been really given much, airtime around it is the punt from special teams from the Bengals at the end. They should not have punted it to the guy. Kick it out. Kick it like long and away from the player. Do not give him an opportunity to run back 25, 30 yards and put Mahomes in a position where he only has to get 20 yards to get to the field goal range. Like, that was stupidity.
Are they
as
doing
well,
that
when there
because
was bad
they're
execution.
Trying to chew clock or something? Like, keep the ball in play for five seconds longer?
Don't just kick it straight to him. Keep it in play, but get it right in the corner. That's just asking for trouble. And yeah, ended up, the huge return that was actually probably absolute key to the Chiefs having even a chance to get, within field goal range in the first place.
So we can blame the play calling or the punter instead of 58. I know what you're saying. But like, honestly, what we haven't talked about, which I still think is the most surprising thing going into this game, what the fuck happened to Patrick Mahomes and his high ankle sprain? Like, which is normally just this wild injury. Patrick Mahomes went 29 from 43 attempts for 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and was sacked 3 times. How the fuck is this happening? Like, I have no idea. He took such a rough hit. The reporting was that he got a high ankle sprain, which is like one of the worst injuries you can get in football because it's so niggly to deal with. And yet he comes in, he practices all week, and then has an absolute lights out game. And he also rushed like a couple of times as well. Like, I don't get that. Patrick Mahomes is crazy special.
Maybe they released it as a high ankle sprain to take all the pressure off Kansas City and put all the pressure on Cincinnati. And
fuck,
everyone would assume.
That's a theory I'll buy into. Conspiracy theory. Let's start it.
Interestingly, I think quarterback, it's a lot harder to run heavily on a high ankle sprain. So I think other positions, wide receiver in particular, would really struggle. And you could just see him the whole time. I mean, he definitely had an issue. Like, he always had to like kind of take his weight off it. He was very smart with how he dealt with that. And I think I mentioned last week, I had read that this is an injury he had in a few years back when they had a deep run. And so it's something that he has managed before. And yeah, I think not everyone could play through it, but he obviously understands his body and knows, what you can just see how he's moving with his feet after plays,
which is insane, right? Because if you think about it, like a quarterback, you're planting your foot, you're putting weight on it. So the fact that he's like one day of like you said, if he's had this injury before and learned how to play through it and still had that thing, like Patrick Mahomes is fucking superhuman. Because that's just insane.
And wasn't there some chat going around in our group that Joe Burrow was the best quarterback in the game or something? I think that solidified Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the game.
Patrick Mahomes was always the best quarterback in the game.
The stupidity of like if that guy didn't push him and then the Bengals win, it doesn't answer it anyway.
No, I'm winding up.
Another amazing thing is what Patrick Mahomes is doing with, no star wide receivers. I mean, no disrespect to Juju Smith-Schuster who caught one target for 7 yards. But Travis Kelce's been there and he's been lights out all season, and I get that he's got that existing relationship. But the fact that they can constantly spread the ball around to all these guys, Jarrett McKinnon, getting those dump off passes in the backfield and getting lots of yards. He obviously didn't have a huge game from that respect in the weekend, but they're a really well rounded team, considering that they lost Tyreek Hill in the offseason. So it's going to be a great Super Bowl, that's for sure.
Well, let's quickly talk about Super Bowl then. We do a Pro Bowl this weekend, so next week we will talk probably quite a bit about the Super Bowl. So we don't want to dive in too deep here, but early picks, like what are you looking at for Chiefs Eagles in 2 weeks' time or 10 days' time?
I mean, obviously I'm going to be completely biased in this situation, so it's a bit of a hard one for me. But honestly, like I'm looking at the Eagles and I just think they've got the goods on offense to tire out the Chiefs' defense. I don't think the Chiefs' defense is on the same level as some of the other teams. And I think just, the The way that the Eagles defense has been playing all year, I think they'll be able to shut down Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, like I'm definitely taking the Eagles here.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think I think the Eagles deserve to be slight favourites. I think they're a more rounded side in Kansas City. I think they've got just greater depth across the board. I'm just not going to go against Mahomes. I think this extra week that he gets is going to be huge for recovery. Same with Kelce, who, you know, was a game time decision on the weekend, which we didn't mention. But so both of them should be, you know, more fit than they were for the championship game. And yeah, I just think this is their third Super Bowl in 4 years. And so that's where I'm kind of leaning towards, is that sort of big game experience that most of this Philly team don't have. So I'm just leaning towards that with Kansas City and Mahomes just able to, you know, in the key moments, you know, Jalen Hurts has had a hell of a season, 16-1 record starting this year. So, you know, this is going to be and as we've just mentioned, didn't get truly tested in these first two playoff games. So this is going to be a big moment, and it'll be huge for his, you know, career if he can get up. But yeah, I'm going to go with Mahomes to win his second MVP and second Super Bowl this year.
So apparently the bookies opened up. I told you guys this a few days ago, but apparently the bookies opened up Chiefs' favorites, and then all this money poured in on the Eagles, and they flipped the line back to Philly. So that kind of shows you where the punters are going. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Dave. Like, I think the Chiefs are going to get this done. I think it'll be close. And a lot of that's just to do with the fact that, like, yeah, when it's down to the last 5 minutes and there's one score in it, you know, all the scores are tied, I just back Mahomes to get things done the way he just seems to be able to, you know, get things done in the clutch moments and find a way to win games. And maybe Jalen Hurts has got it in them, and maybe the Eagles have got that in them too. But I think the Chiefs have a proven record of doing that. And so I'd lean towards the Chiefs, but I certainly think it's going to be within one score for sure.
I think one of the interesting things is kind of like the key to this matchup for me is going to be the Eagles running game and then the Eagles defense. I mean, the Bengals basically had to abandon the running game over the weekend against the Chiefs just because they got behind so fast. But, you know, like Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts, there's four guys, and you've got fresh legs that can come in, all who can run. You got great tight ends. You got two very explosive wide receivers. And then, like, on the defense side of things, obviously Patrick Mahomes is an absolute nightmare from a defensive point of view. You never count him out. You know, he can go out the field in a quick amount of time. You know, he's superb in two-minute drills. He can sling the ball, you know, 60, 70, 80 yards. But honestly, I just think the way that that game, that Kansas game and that Bengals game played out, a lot more of their plays are on tape for the Eagles to go around. Also, kind of like something else we haven't really talked about is Andy Reid and the Eagles and the Chiefs. Obviously, Andy Reid used to coach the Eagles. He was fired about 10 years ago. He went on to the Chiefs and has done amazing things there. Also, Nick Sirianni, who's now the Eagles head coach, I believe he was a coordinator under Andy Reid at the Chiefs, and Andy Reid actually fired him. So there's a lot of fun to be had with
this game. There's no shortage of storylines, which is maybe in part how the officiating went on the weekend. They wanted this Kansas City Eagles give to the Kelce Bowl. There's a bunch of storyline. There's been, you just have to look on their socials. They keep posting about it. This is the first Super Bowl where starting quarterbacks are African American. So, you know, there's all these different storylines that this game kind of produces, which, that's, you know, they got what they wanted.
So the Eagles haven't been the Chiefs since 2009, but they don't play each other very often. Three games since then, Chiefs won them all. Last game was 2021, Chiefs won 42-30. So, and I guess Jalen Hurts, was he playing in...
He was
2021.
It's a different Jalen Hurts now, not different era, but
you know what I mean. Like, it's not the same Jalen Hurts back then as it is now. So no real history between these two sides as we know them now. So that adds a bit of intrigue as well. So Looking forward to it. We'll dive a bit more into it next week and really try and pull apart the two teams and where the game might be won and lost. But until then, we'll look at the 49ers and the Bengals and look a bit what they might do next season and what they need to do to go one step further. So I think we start with the easier team or the team that would probably requires a little bit less conversation. So that'd be the Bengals, I think. Because for me, I mean, they've got their quarterback in place. They've got a lot of their attacking weapons in place. What do you guys think they need to do? Beef up that O-line again?
I mean, honestly, priority number one in the offseason is locking Joe Burrow up on a long-term contract.
And that has a domino. So that's the priority, as you do that contract. And depending on how that contract works, is he going to do something like a Patrick Mahomes where it's, you know, this really long, flexible deal? Or is it going to be more, you know, more aligned to what have we seen more recently, Deshaun Watson and what Lamar Jackson's wanting, just this guaranteed, more Kyler Murray got this more guaranteed money. That's going to be the interesting, because depending on how that goes, then it lets them know how much room they've got with, you know, these T. Higgins and these other sort of players that they probably want to, and Jamar Chase, obviously. So that's, to me, yeah, you're right. I think it's Joe Burrow's number one, and then it's the domino effects from that.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good sign, though, when re-signing a current player is your top priority.
Yeah, and it like it's re-signing a current player who's like clearly
really, really
a really fucking good player, and also like loves being in the city, has been like great overall for the league. So that's number one. One of the theories that I love as well is that they saw the writing on the wall with all these players, and that's why they changed the name of their stadium and put in naming rights and sold it to like Paycor Stadium for however much, was because they knew all these extensions were coming and needed the money. But that's definitely priority number one. I think priority number two, like your offense is looking really good. You've got, you know, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Hayden Hurst, I think is at tight end. You got Joey Burrow. You're going to get more confidence in that O-line, I think. They ended up playing pretty well. I think, you know, maybe one addition there. Maybe that's where you look to spend your draft picks. And then also probably on the defense side of things. You are in a tough division. If you're the Bengals, you're playing the Ravens and the Steelers twice a year, and also the Browns. So building up your defense to really slow those teams down is going to be important, because, I mean, this hindsight's always 2020, and this could be an absolute nightmare, because last year we were like, AFC, you know, West is the worst, you know, and it's going to be incredibly tough with the Broncos and all that kind of stuff. But that just seems like a nightmare division. So anything that you can do to shore up that defense while maintaining your current offense is going to be definitely priority number two.
So where's their first draft? I mean, obviously without fully knowing who's going to be available at pick number 28, where would you be thinking that that first round draft pick goes?
Probably a defensive end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know maybe about their injuries. What about their O-line like injuries?
Eli Apple, like, he's not the guy. He gets beat all the time. So maybe a cornerback, you know, in some depth at that position would be helpful as well.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's probably one of those things that's where it'll be based on who might be on the board as well. Yes. When us as, like, we'll call them casuals, who looks that deep into the draft, you know, you often will know who the top 15, 20 players are, but not that far down.
Yeah. Excited about this team, though, and particularly given that that division could, you know, there's a bit of intrigue in that, I think, moving forward as well with the Ravens, the Steelers. Look like they could turn things around pretty quickly, and the Browns will get a full season with Watson. So it could be a good division next year.
I see Burrow being more like a Tom Brady, having a pretty good, you know, like what Brady was famous for at the Patriots, which was to kind of do team-friendly-ish deals. It might still be a very high number. It'll just be the way that it's structured will give them flexibility to keep them, because I think he's the sort of guy that will want to win titles, not inflate his bank account any more than it needs to be.
Looking at just the latest projections as well, just going back to what they might do in the draft, because they've got one of the last picks, you know, it's always a bit hard to tell, but one of them that I was just looking at has them taking a tight end, and it's more kind of a guarding tight end, just again to give Joe Burrow more protection, time to throw the ball. So probably goes more in line with what you were saying, Si, about kind of beefing up that O-line and protection.
Should be good. So I think things are looking pretty good for the Bengals. What about the 49ers? Because they are in an interesting spot where a lot of their roster looks fantastic, but the quarterback's position is completely up in the air. So to quickly run through it, Jimmy Garoppolo is free agent. Trey Lance is coming back from injury. Brock Purdy is probably going to be out for the first period. I don't know how long it'll be, but certainly going to not be ready for the opening game. And James Johnson status unknown as well there. So we don't know if he's available either. Josh Johnson. And the big one here is Tom Brady, because he's been linked with the 49ers a lot. He's almost certainly going to leave the Bucs, I think. And so the 49ers could make sense, particularly now that Purdy's injured, as a good 1 year spot for him to try and win another ring. So what do you guys see? Do you think Brady's a realistic option for the 49ers?
Well, I think like the conversation we're having now, if we'd had this a week ago, it would have been completely different, because we all would have been saying like, and I think we even did that it was going to be a quarterback competition between Purdy and Trey Lance. They might try and move Trey Lance to get some collateral and have like a backup in there. Obviously, Purdy with that injury suffered over the weekend, 6 month minimum timeline. He will definitely come back healthy and be able to throw the ball at the same level he was. So I'm not worried about that. It's not kind of those ACL, MCL injuries that you have to worry about with running backs, where it's got this 2 year recovery window. But like you said, Si, like the thing that makes it interesting, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. He's not coming back. I don't see him coming back at all. You got Trey Lance. What do you do with Trey Lance?
Oh, just to come in on that, like, how much does it suck to be Trey Lance? Because 6 months ago, San Francisco were handing you the keys to the franchise, and now there's like all these guys injured and departing for free agency, and we're like, should we go and get another quarterback? And it's like that was
I
one of
think
the worst timed injuries you could get.
they will still consider him. They may still kind of go
You
with
have
the
to with the amount you sacrificed.
exactly.
Like,
That's my point. I think they gave away three picks or something. So that there was so much that they obviously saw in him, and we really as fans haven't seen enough of him yet. But they've seen a lot more in in training and whatnot. So if Shanahan still likes what he sees there, then I think the answer is they probably just go with what we were talking about last week, which is Trey Lance and Purdy. Trey Lance starting, and then Purdy being right on his tail, right up, sort of bench and being right there if Lance has a poor game. But I think it does look very tantalizing for Brady to go in for that one and done, 1 year come in there. But that's obviously if Brady wants to go there as well.
Yeah,
I think Brady
like
would.
one of the more interesting ones, I think, is we've seen what Shanahan can do with backup quarterbacks and what they can do with a really strong defensive team. So like there probably is a scenario where they just say, we're gonna stick with Purdy and Trey Lance and just go for it. Trey Lance is gonna be ready for training camps and OTA, so that's fine. Purdy shouldn't be too far behind. But like you said, it's that Tom Brady issue that sits out there. And this is a team that very well, both those quarterbacks, Purdy and Trey Lance, are under rookie contracts. So there is a scenario where they could sit there and bring in Brady and have three quarterbacks on the roster. We've seen teams do this before. The Raiders have done it, and others in the past. So that is a very real scenario. But also, like with the amount that you pay for Trey Lance, like, you could look at it two ways. One, you try shift him just because you want to recoup anything back if you truly don't believe in it. Or two, you sit him behind one of the greatest, if not the greatest NFL player of all time, where he can only get better. And then you've got a future where Purdy and Trey Lance fight for the starting role 1 year after.
My theory on Lance is that you either trade him now or early in the off season and recoup as much as you can, because he's still going to be, I think, widely valued because he's only had an injury, or he's basically got to be your starter, I think. Because I think if you leave him too late, then you're definitely not getting, then that's when his value starts to really go down. And unless maybe he turns it around eventually and starts games for you. But I just don't think. I mean, the idea of having Lance, Purdy, and Brady on one roster is pretty tantalizing. But then you've got to wonder, like, why not try and move one of those guys and to either turn them into players who can beef up your run with Brady for a year or two, or draft picks that can lengthen your window. I just don't know if it's worth carrying those three quarterbacks. But
Well, Purdy's not going anywhere. There's no chance he's going anywhere. I mean,
I would agree.
he'll be so cheap to them. He's not going anywhere. It's whether it's if they got Brady in, it's just whether they, as basically, they keep the three, which they'll be able to afford to do, or they try and take, you know, get rid of Lance and try and add some pieces from what they can get out of that.
Yeah, and then I think that probably comes down to the market as well for Lance. And you would, and what I'm saying, that like his value is probably higher now than it would be if he sat on the bench for a year. This is quite an active quarterback market we're going into, and I don't think Trey Lance is going to be that sought after when guys like Tom Brady, Derek Carr, you've got the two young guys in the draft. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, potentially Lamar Jackson is a real wild card. And you know, others are available. I think Trey Lance is so far down that pecking order that there's probably not a huge price teams are going to pay for him. And they're not going to be commanding anywhere near the price that the 49ers paid to get him. So that's got to factor into it as well, I think.
This is an interesting though. So like, in case anyone that's listening hasn't clued up, the massive decision for the 49ers, absolutely number one by a long, long time, is what to do at quarterback. That's kind of where they get. So they've still got Debo Samuels, Kittle, Ayuk, you know,
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's all lined up.
McCaffrey, they could jet like out of his contract, or they could renegotiate it, or they could just sign him again, like keep him on for the $20 million. That, I mean, it would be silly for them to get rid of him, obviously.
What's Bosa up to?
Yeah, their defense is all locked up as well. So you, all their main players, I guess we should say, you know. So again,
Warner and Bosa are still there, which is the two best on defense.
And Trent
Williams. Shanahan's not going anywhere.
No. So yeah, again, quarterback.
It's quarterback.
Yeah.
It's actually the same thing with both. Like we talked about the Burrow contract extension. That's going to be the domino around that. Likewise, Brady, do they sign him or not? Domino effect around that. So it's kind of quite different. But it's, you know, around QB1. That sort of has the how their whole offseason will look once that's decided.
Yeah, they're going to be probably not going to make a lot of moves, but the moves that they make will be pretty big, I think. So they'll be an interesting team to watch. Let's switch tack, go to the NBA, and you touched on it earlier, Thwaites, talking about players getting rested. We had the Lakers in town last night. No LeBron, no AD playing. Rest is a big part of the NBA at the moment, with players randomly not playing games. It sucks when you hold tickets to these games, because you turn up to the game, you buy them a month out, you think you're going to go and see LeBron play, and then suddenly he's rested and you're not seeing LeBron play. What do you do about this, though?
I don't know. It's an interesting thing. And like, to kind of, for anyone that kind of is overseas and not in the US, you don't really find out if someone's playing or not until the day of. Sometimes, if you're lucky, the day before. So to kind of put this in example, last season, last NBA season, I sat there. I didn't have season tickets. I picked all the games that I wanted to go to and bought them the first time they were available. Lakers, Mavs, I can't remember the other ones. I think I got to see all the guys I wanted to, apart from the Heat, which rested Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry.
I was there with you.
Yeah, you definitely were. And then another one was the Portland Trailblazers, because I wanted to see Damian Lillard. And he didn't play, obviously, a lot last year at all. This year, the same thing has gone on, whether it's injuries or resting. I mean, like, Golden State Warriors, huge in-demand game in Brooklyn here. Steph Curry's not playing. I think... I can't remember if Klay Thompson even played. I'm pretty sure.
No, they Curry was out, and then they just rested everyone, because I think it was the second game of back-to-back for them.
Yeah.
And so Thompson and Wiggins didn't play.
Yeah, so like the latest example is obviously the Lakers playing here last night. The day before, Sunday, it was announced Anthony Davis and LeBron James weren't playing. The minimum you could get a ticket for at like when... before this injury was announced, it was about $300 for absolute nosebleed seats in a shitty section. These ticket prices absolutely plummeted after that. You can get them for way cheaper. And there were people online complaining like, hey, we're flown from X place, the UK, the Dominican Republic, wherever. We paid $900 for our tickets. They're now worth $300 in our section. It's a massive problem. I think, obviously, when you look across the NBA, you also have teams with players that regularly rest. So the Clippers is prime example number one that it will always be at the top of people's minds. Kawhi Leonard is always known for wanting to rest games. I don't know how you fix a Kawhi Leonard problem. With the other side of things, though, with like this LeBron James, Anthony Davis, you can't do away back-to-back games. I mean, obviously, if you're away playing in LA and you're playing the Clippers and Lakers back-to-back, it's at the same stadium, same accommodation, you don't have to travel, or you only have to travel in and out once. It's not a massive problem. But when you're having to go to New York, then fly to Atlanta, like I totally get it and totally understand why you do it. It's such a long season, but from a fan's point of view, it really sucks when you get so excited to see a LeBron James, a Steph Curry, whoever it may be, and they're not playing on the day off.
I agree.
Yeah, they
And
definitely
that is my TED talk.
but they just need to they need to do something about it to stop. It's mainly the away games, like, because at the end of the day, the games that they're often not playing is they'll be doing like a. So I know Cleveland Cavaliers, I think twice in the last 2 weeks, the Cavs have played the Warriors without anyone, and then they played the Clippers without anyone. So if you're based in Cleveland, you get to see those two teams from the West once a year at home. And you know, so though, and you, as you sort of talked about, a lot of people might not have season tickets, but they'll look at the schedule and go, oh yeah, I want to see Steph Curry, especially like kind of kids, like 10, 15-year-olds or whatever. That's going to be the games they want to see, the superstars. And then, or it could be like the Grizzlies, I want to see Ja, and then he's rested. And yeah, like the NBA, if they only get to see one, if the team only plays that team once at home, you cannot have a situation where those guys are just rested, not even an injury related, just load management. So I don't know. Yeah, obviously a lot needs to be looked at into the schedule. You know, can they reduce it, or can they at least layer it in a way where back to backs maybe just at home? I think one of you might have suggested. It just needs to be completely flipped around, because as a as yeah as a fan, you know, living in America and you want to go to these games, it's just it's shit.
It is shit. Like, and the other thing is, like, did you? And it was all over social media that kid and his mum who flew to Miami to go to a Heat game to watch Jimmy Butler play. I can't remember if they're from Argentina or it was somewhere that was a far away. And they had a sign, and they were so excited to see Jimmy Butler play. And then literally, like, just before they're announcing the game, they announce he's out. And then you just see like the photos, it was all over social media, just the absolute heartbreak of a kid. And I get injuries and stuff happen, but like people pay lots and lots of money to go to these games and like don't get to see the star players.
Do you think we would have been all over social media if Steven Adams had been rested for that game we went
Oh,
to the
fuck, I would
Grizzlies
have hated
versus
that. I would have hated that.
the
That would have sucked. But like the
Nets?
same thing, like,
Poor kid misses out on meeting
yeah.
Steven Adams.
Look at this chubby man. He looks so
Just Blake's with his
sad.
pen looking. No, you weren't allowed to bring your pen in,
I
sorry.
wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed to
No,
bring my pen in.
you
Like,
crying.
look at this angry guy. Why does he keep dropping the C word? Why has he been ejected from the arena? But it just sucks. Like, I mean, like
Nah, it does.
the NFL doesn't have that problem, but they have smaller games. Obviously, like, I don't think any of us are under the illusion that the NBA would ever get the owners to agree to decrease the amount of games just because it takes away money. But it's a massive problem and they
I
need to
agree.
do something about it.
I agree. Just like remove the away back-to-back games. Like you should never have to play in Miami one night and then New York the next night. That's absurd. And that seems like, and it probably won't fully stop resting, but I think it'll help a lot, because I'm pretty sure most of these times they're getting rested are back-to-back games and usually on the road, as Dave I think said.
Well, and
But
I
then,
think that they I talked about last week. They call them scheduled losses, where they look at it at the start of the year and go, "Well, yeah, LeBron." And the thing, using LeBron as an example, he is, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. Like, and he's on his twilight years, right? Like, there's not going to be many years left, realistically. I mean, he is superhuman, and he might play longer than expected. But I think every game now, you know, especially when he comes, say, comes to Brooklyn and New York, you know, that could be your last chance to see him here. You know, that's what got to be thought. He's like an ACL injury away from ending his career. So you do not want LeBron just rested for the sake of it. Have him rested when he's at home, because he plays 40 other games there. And that could be where you have back to backs. Like, you want to put the schedule in a way where it's easier for them to be able to play in these away games, because you've got all these stars in the league, Embiid, Giannis. You want them to be seen by the, you know, by the fans all around the country.
the other thing
Sadly,
is, like,
yeah, they, yeah.
I'm definitely not advocating to like put any of these players at injury risk by making them play too much. And I mean, like, every team in the league does it. The Nets did it. I think they went and played
In
the Pacers, and
Charlotte.
they basically, Paces, I was at Charlotte.
Paces, I think. Yeah,
and basically rested absolutely everyone, like everyone, and like
they have more guys. They have more people on the bench in like mufti clothes.
Yeah,
than actual team kit. That's funny.
Yeah, so everyone does it, but like when the fine is $50,000 for an organization, like who gives a shit? Like you're just going to take advantage of that because, like you said, I think Dave, like scheduled losses. You know, you don't want to. You want your teams rested for the games that they need to win. But it sucks.
Do you know how many games Michael Jordan played in the regular season in his final 2002-03 season for the Washington Wizards?
50.
82.
I remember we talked about this because it was something insane, and he was averaging like an insane amount of, not insane. I think he was averaging odd like 18 or 19 odd points or something like that for how old he was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Is LeBron going to play against
maybe,
the Knicks?
Maybe LeBron will. Yeah, he has. He's confirmed.
He's playing.
He's confirmed.
Of course he is.
That's nationally televised.
Why do you hate Barclays? Why do you hate MSG?
I think he would have played. If KD was playing, I think he would have played because then I think that would have been more of a marquee matchup, but it wasn't without KD.
Also, the whole big conspiracy theory about this is that he wants to hit the all-time points record in the Staples Center / Crypto Arena, whatever it's called now, rather than away game at like wherever.
Well, I thought initially he wanted to do it at MSG, but I think he'd need to get about 130 points tonight to do that. So don't rule it out. All right, last topic. Looking ahead, we're a month into 2023. It's January 31st or February 1st or 2nd, depending on when you listen to this. But plenty of sport to go on in America this year. So wanted to do a pretty chill topic here and just say, what sporting event would you most want to go to this year? It can be something that's unattainable. It can be something where you hope your team's in the finals. It can just be something you're actually genuinely targeting that you want to go somewhere around America this year in 2023.
Yeah, I'm going to start off and I'm going to go with a little curveball. So anyone that knows me knows I don't love baseball. I try. Mm. I really fucking try. The Home Run Derby. I fucking love the idea of that. Seattle. I would love to go to the Home Run Derby. I reckon it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a very casual environment. You're seeing a lot of action all the time. I would absolutely love to do that. Obviously, Super Bowl's high on my list. So I think, like, if someone was like, hey, do you want a free $6,000 Super Bowl ticket or, like, $200 to a Home Run Derby, like, obviously my priorities would change, but Home Run Derby feels like a lot of fun. I think I've said Derby and Derby interchangeably while I've been talking as well, but feels like a lot of fun. Feels like a great social event that you could go to, and real crowd favorite sport.
And it's a good time of year. It's in, when is it? I assume it's in the middle of summer, and so Seattle's a good time.
Early July, I think. Early July.
Yeah. So that's definitely for me. And Simon, if you weren't joining us on the podcast today, I was going to throw you under the bus and say that Pro Bowl would be your favorite. Fuck, I just Pro can't Bowl. Believe how awful it is. But anyway, topic.
It'd be fun. Maybe you would have to. The only way I'd watch the Pro Bowl is if I was there.
And just, in Hawaii. They get the perfect get
drunk in Hawaii at the Pro Bowl. It'd be kind of like you'd have fun. So I was thinking about them. I was thinking about the Las Vegas GP, which is debuting this year, which is the first one.
That's good.
But I've been to a Formula One event before, and I was very lucky. I got what they call a paddock pass for that, and I'm not sure I could top that at Vegas, particularly given the prices that are being thrown around for that event. And I'm not sure I would enjoy it as much. So that would be one if I could afford like the best, you know, like a corporate box basically at the Vegas GP, because that'll be amazing. But a realistic one, I think, would be, I know Dave and I talked about this, going to Penn State College game for one of their wideout games, about a couple of hours drive away from New York later in the year. And I think going to a massive college game and seeing that sort of atmosphere would have to be right up there. It's something that I would like to do and probably will do, all going to plan this year.
Support your favorite state, Pennsylvania. Why not? Full of your favorite sports teams, the Philadelphia Eagles.
That was one of the ones I had. So we actually were very close to, because it's just the, you know, drive there and back sort of, you can make a late call. We were looking at going the past season, but it clashed with Yankees Astros playoff game. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of knew that in the background, so we didn't pull the trigger. But hopefully it's a little bit earlier this year in September. They move it round. We'll find out when it is. But that's
that Vegas GP though would have been fucking that would be cool. I completely forgot about that because they will do such a good job there with it.
And as Simon said, I've done which Formula One have you been to? Sorry,
I've been to Austin.
Yeah, because I did the Melbourne one, and yeah, unless I get like a grandstand, or as you say, like a certain spot, I wouldn't go to a Formula One again. You do need to be in like a good vantage point, I think, to get more out of it.
That's right.
So obviously you've taken that. The other for me, so the college football is definitely since moving back here, moving to New York, I haven't actually managed to get to a college game. And you know, as we've talked about before, I do follow it a bit, so definitely need to get to one this year. The other thing for me as well would be to tick off a few of these sports with Evie. So taking a baby, so take her to her first Nets game. There's a few afternoon games in March, April, so I'll probably try and get to there. It'll be good to get to obviously Yankee games and in the summer. Now that she's a little bit older, it was pretty ambitious when I took her as a 3-month old to her first NFL game in Denver,
which was what game?
It was the Broncos, and I really, really underestimated how loud. I think maybe because I've been to a bunch more recently at MetLife and. Just the Broncos Stadium just absolutely like dominates MetLife for how loud it gets. I don't think it's quite Seattle level or maybe Buffalo or Kansas, but it's certainly up there. And they have the decibel reading all the time, and yeah, constantly above 100. So luckily we had our headphones on her, but I don't know how well they did. So that's me.
Wait, so what was it? Just going to any sport event with...
it's the college football as well. Yeah, also. Okay, it's college football. Awesome. But then for me, it's also, it'll be taking her to... I wanted to do the four major sports before she's like 18 months.
Oh, that's cool. I like that plan. Oh, yeah, very, very cute. Some of the other ones we could pretend, like, you know, that are definitely out there, I think, that kind of like float up and down my list, depending on... what I'm loving or hating at the time. Final Four for March Madness, I think would be pretty cool. It's just hard because I don't have a college team, so I just don't care enough about college basketball.
It's so expensive.
I think it's in Final Fours in Brooklyn this year.
Oh, really?
Is it?
Yeah. I may be lying about that. I'm pretty sure it is. And then, obviously, college football, I think, is definitely out there. You got the whiteout game at Penn State, your Virginia Techs, who have Enter Sandman for the walk-in and stuff like that. Obviously, the Masters has got to be up there for a bunch of people. And then probably the Winter Classic is pretty cool. It's this idea that they play this NHL game outside in an outdoor stadium. So they had it at Fenway Park this year. Definitely looks like one of those made for TV things though, because you can't really see the ice hockey rink that well.
It's in Houston, bro.
Is it? Maybe it's the following year.
They've got MSG. MSG's got the regional semifinals and finals, but it might be in. Feels like something that they would do here. But the thing is, they host the final at NRG Stadium, which is the Texans' stadium. They host it at a football stadium, so I don't think they'll do it at Barclays. They pack the punters in. So you paid to get in a nosebleed seat at a football stadium to watch a tiny little basketball court in the middle of the field.
2024 Barclays is
for the finals?
First or the semifinals, it looks like.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
My other one would be to see Brady and LeBron play if they're not getting arrested. But I haven't seen those two play. And I feel like Brady will be back next year. If he's at the 49ers, the way you were mentioning, he'll be playing in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh this next season. So those would be two opportunities. LeBron, I'll probably never see because he only plays home games. So I hope to go to LA for that, but that's not a problem. But yeah, I do want to see those two guys play before they call it at some point, whenever they do. There's some good stuff going on this year. Some good stuff to get to.
It's exciting. But again, seeing Ryan Fox win the Masters, I would be very good for.
That would be a dream one. That would be one that I just can't go to because the tickets are all, you know, the ballot's long gone. But that would be one. See like a Kiwi at the Masters and spend 4 days at Augusta. That'd be cool. Okay. Good stuff. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. We'll talk to you next week. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.